We will begin with Cheryl Michelle Del Toro. Apologize. Michelle has a Bachelor of Science in Applied Economics and Management from Cornell University, a Master's in Social Work and Public Policy from Georgetown University, and a Master's in Public Health from Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine. Michelle is Program Manager in the Department of Public Health and Research at the Cleveland Clinic. She manages the 5-to-go program, which is the Cleveland Clinic's childhood wellness initiative aimed at preventing obesity in children and keeping them happy and healthy across the lifespan. Michelle has focused her career on developing, implementing, and evaluating health policy and public health programs. She worked at Metro Health to integrate HIV testing into routine clinical practice through improved use of health informatics. We very much welcome Michelle Del Toro.
Thank you. Good afternoon. As Karen said, I'll be talking about the 5-to-go program, and it's a healthcare provider's approach to promoting childhood wellness in schools. And I have no relationships to disclose. Today, as part of the presentation, I will define the components of our 5-to-go program. I will discuss how a healthcare provider and school districts can collaborate to promote school health initiatives and describe the steps, challenges, and successes that we've gone through in implementing our program across 16 school districts. The program really stems from our strong support from our leadership and the Cleveland Clinic's commitment to the health, wellness, and prevention of disease for our employees, our patients, and all the communities that we serve. As Karen mentioned, I work in the Department of Public Health and Research, and this department is actually part of the Office of External Affairs for the Cleveland Clinic. Our office includes government relations, civic education, and community outreach. And our department was created to promote overall well-being through healthy behaviors. And all the programs that we develop, we hope that they can lead to changes at the local, regional, and national level. So 5-to-go is what we deem our childhood wellness strategy. It's enterprise-wide, so it covers all the hospitals that are part of the Cleveland Clinic. And it's a countdown to wellness. It is to eat 5 fruits and vegetables a day, given getting 4 complements a day, consuming 3 calcium products, limiting media time to 2 hours, getting 1 hour of exercise a day, and then consuming 0 sugar sweetened beverages. Our programs promote at least one, if not all, of the parts of this message. 5-to-go has 3 components, and I'll talk about them throughout the presentation. We do data collection, curricula, and policy change, and we evaluate everything that we do. We've been successful in launching this program because we've leveraged the partnerships throughout the greater Cleveland, the community that Cleveland Clinic serves. Today, I will focus on our relationship with the First Ring Superintendent Collaborative, which came about the superintendents for the 16 school districts that surround the actual city of Cleveland come together every month to share best practices in many areas, from wellness to food service, public relations, informatics, and they meet every month, and then they have several committees that meet every other month. This relationship that we have with the First Ring actually served as the platform for us to launch this program across Cleveland. We also work with the public school system, CMSD, Cleveland Metropolitan School District, charter schools, and independent schools. And as part of our relationship with the Office of External Affairs, we've now expanded our programs into community organizations, including Salvation Army, Girl Scouts of Northeast Ohio, and Community United Head Start. Here's a map kind of showing you our reach. If you see the star with the Cleveland Clinic, that's still part of the city of Cleveland. The red dots show you the areas that we call the inner ring of Cleveland. So all those cities surround Cleveland. 5-to-go began as part of an initiative with Lakewood City Schools in 2006. It was BMI assessments was part of the project that we were doing with that district. And Lakewood is part of one of those, the first ring, inner ring districts. So that relationship helped us build the relationship with the first ring and with particularly the wellness committee. We were able to begin piloting BMI assessments, kindergarten and fifth grade. And then in June 2010, Ohio passed the Senate Bill 210, which is the Healthy Choices for Healthy Children's Act. And that it had provisions on BMI, mandating them throughout the state, as well as PE and beverage and nutrition provisions. And that helped us to expand our project. So we went from doing about 8,000 assessments to 16,000 assessments in 1 year. With the first ring, with the collaboration with the first ring, then with the wellness committee, we were able to also pilot, implement some of our curricula. Last year in 2011, 2012, we pilot implemented in 11 out of the 16 school districts. So 1,200 children received a food assignage curricula, as well as launch the Eat Right at School program in 4 districts. And I'll talk about all of them in detail. So our BMI assessments, they follow per ODH guidelines. They follow everything that's stipulated in the Senate Bill 210. It's approved by the IRB for the Cleveland Clinic. And we've standardized the process in order to accommodate for the expansion of the BMI assessments for K, 3rd, 5th, 5th, and 9th grade. We have a form letter and consent form that is shared by everybody in the first ring, and all parents receive the same letter that explains our relationship. It explains the Senate Bill 210, the BMI definitions, and explains the process to them. So briefly, some of the data that we've seen or that we've gathered from our region, 19% of children are overweight, 16% obese. So those are the numbers that stand out. When we compare to the state of Ohio, we're pretty comparable what our region is to the state of Ohio. We can see a slight increase in the over 85th percentile in 2012, but that's attributed to us now gathering information on 12th graders, which have higher BMIs. I wanted to show you this slide as well, or this figure as well. Now that we can gather information for more than 2 grades, we're able to compare and try to find out the gaps for programming. So we see that the largest increase occurs between kindergarten and 3rd grade. And then for the first time, we did see a slight decrease in BMIs for 5th graders. So it's something that we're looking forward to in the future as we can begin longitudinally tracking BMIs and see its statistically significant. So our curricula, Food is Knowledge, it's a curricula for pre-KK first grade, and it was developed by Jim Perko, who is our Wellness Institute executive chef, and 2 teachers from Brecksville City Schools, and it was developed 20 years ago. So we have taken that curricula that has 9 interactive lessons. The last lesson is a family gathering, and parents are invited. We send family letters home every week about the program, and the program teaches students about the food groups. It teaches about where food comes from. It teaches looking into food sources and the difference that you can get calcium not just from milk, but leafy green vegetables as well. And we do that through characters and songs and poems. We actually have a kit that we share throughout the schools so the teachers can share it. And we do follow a train-to-trainer model or train-to-teacher model for the program. And it meets Ohio academic content standards. Here's an example of some of the collateral that we've developed. We've tied the characters to the Choose My Plate, the My Plate, and also tied to our 5-2 goal. So this is a placemat that kids take home after the end of the program. So we have done some evaluation of the pilot, and I just wanted to share a few numbers. The evaluation It had three components. We did student pre- and post-surveys that assessed knowledge and healthy behaviors, and about a third of the students participated. And we saw an increase overall in correct responses and also at being able to identify the food groups. The teacher surveys included a needs assessment. We got weekly feedback from the teachers to see how the implementation was going. We also did a post-implementation survey as well as a focus group. So we took all their feedback and I've already incorporated into the larger launch of the program. And then the parent focus group, which we're still in the process of analyzing that information. Healthy Futures is our other curricula. It's for grades 4, 5, and 6. And it was developed by two physicians in sports medicine at the Cleveland Clinic, actually as part of their MPH capstone. And it was designed as a case control study. It was 16 weeks long, so we kind of piloted in a different way. And it was very much lecture-based as well. So we piloted at the one school, but then decided to change it. And we revised it over the summer and now condensed it to 12 weeks. It has covers nutrition, physical activity, body pollution, particularly smoke, anti-smoking, and mindfulness. So looking at how stress and affects your overall wellness, as well as talk to children about the importance of sleep. So here you see, this is what we call the wellness wheel, and it's taught throughout every single unit, and thinking how all these spokes, all these pieces can affect your overall well-being inside and out. And we also have added a journal component to this program, so students do different activities that they can take home and journal and complete them as well. Right now we are piloting at two sites, hope to do three more by the end of the year. As for policy changes, I talked briefly about the Senate Bill 210. We actually collaborated with Nationwide Children's Hospital to support this bill. And it mandated the BMI assessments, made PE mandatory licensure for PE teachers, also as part of that bill. They also provided beverages provisions, so trying to limit fat content in milk in schools in Ohio, and also providing schools with the tools so that they could do nutrition analysis for their menus. Finally, the last program that we have is the Eat Right at School program. We developed, he was actually one of the food service directors from the first ring that kind of guided us. kind of approached us, and so we've collaborated with the Center for Human Nutrition to develop criteria that are stricter than the USDA guidelines, but not as strict as the Cleveland Clinic's Go Foods, which is kind of a wellness institute lifestyle changes that adults can do. So we look into menus, and schools provide us with analyzed menus. And based on weekly average, we set up criteria and limits of sugar, calories, fat content, and sodium, and then kind of encourage having higher portions of fruit and vegetables and fiber. So one of the last September, we had the privilege to have USDA Undersecretary Kevin Concannon actually visit Ohio, and he stopped by Cleveland, Youngstown, and Akron. And Akron City Schools decided to actually launch the Eat Right at School program the same day that he was visiting Akron. And this is a quote from him. He said, "Akron schools already have distinguished themselves when adopting the new standards, the new USDA standards, and they met federal requirements and have now achieved even stricter standards as Cleveland Clinic's Eat Right at School program. Ohio as a state is very is way ahead of the curve." So we're very proud of this strong endorsement by USDA for our program. So challenges that we have faced working with 16 school districts. I mean, every district is very diverse, is very unique. We sometimes say working for a large hospital or healthcare organization, our approval process may sometimes take a long time, but really in school districts, it takes a long time. Really, I mean, the reality is that there are conflicting demands and priorities. A lot of the school districts are going through financial challenges, and while they recognize the importance of wellness and they're committed to doing wellness, they, you know, don't have the financial resources, the personnel resources. They have time constraints throughout the day, and sometimes they feel the pressure to teach to test. So how can they really integrate wellness programming when they have all these constraints around them? Our BMI assessment process, the first couple years, communication was a huge deal. Even if you talk to the different school districts and have a common letter, you know, you're working with 90 buildings. And even if you set deadlines and talk about submitting the information on time, you know, communication sometimes falls through the cracks. So we, you know, in the expansion, we took actually the opportunity to streamline the process and use technology and use our databases to streamline the process and improve communication. Some families still feel it's very invasive and question our role in the process. We've had some media reports on it. And while it was mainly positive because they talked about why, you know, BMI assessments are occurring in school districts, why it's occurring in other states, they would use the BMI assessment, the adult BMI assessment process as the example. And so there you can see that there are issues with health literacy, whether it's with the parents or even in the media as well. So with that, we developed the Five to Go hotline so that people could call with their questions and we can we will answer them. And finally, with BMIs, we've seen political pushback. After Senate Bill 210 passed, the year after the BMI provision went into repeal, we were successful in vetoing or having the governor veto that repeal. But then this year, they've actually, it was part of education bill. So it's not mandated anymore. It's an opt-out process. But the first ring, regardless of it being opt-out or not, they're still going to be doing BMI assessments because they feel that it's important for them. And with the Eat Right at School program, we developed the criteria, but didn't really realize how complex food service in schools really is. And so we've now met with several food service directors and really to learn what commodities are, what a la carte items are. We've also realized that, you know, how do you balance the nutritional content of some products and others? For example, cereals. A cereal that has higher fiber content actually has higher sugar content than a cereal that may not be as good in fiber. So then how do you compromise? How do you keep the one product over the other? And then also student buy-in. One of the anecdotes that we have is that one of the food service directors switched over to whole grain pizza dough, and children had social studies class after, and they complained about the pizza dough, so she ended up getting 400 letters from social studies class from fourth graders saying, please change back the pizza dough. So she learned to next time she's going to taste test before she changes the product. So for our successes, I mean, really, in the end, also working with 16 diverse school districts that are committed to promoting change is a big success. Our BMI assessments, we have baseline data to evaluate our programs. We have now the ability to track longitudinally with the expanded BMI assessment process. And actually, a lot of the school districts are really seeing the importance of the data. The superintendents are meeting in a couple days to actually have a working group and see, okay, this is how I can use the data in my district, but then how can we leverage the data and use it for the entire area? With the Food as Knowledge, 7 out of the 11 pilot districts are actually implementing the program in either pre-KK or first grade. So we will have the program for 2,000 children in 2012-2013. And we're also moving into early childhood education with that program. With Eat Right at School, we're in 6 school districts. 3 of them are first ring. We're actually even moving into high school now, which has been a challenge. The first ring is beginning to consider common menus. So that's we see that as a huge step when we think of the buying power. If we have 16 school districts that represent 60,000 students, and then we also include the Cleveland Metropolitan School District, which are the representative sits now with the first ring food service committee, and that's 40,000 students. That's 100,000 students that we're serving that are eating foods that meet the Eat Right at School criteria. So that should hopefully push manufacturers, which we started to meet with, and we've met with Kellogg, Gordon Food Services as well, to start developing product lists. We don't endorse any particular product, but at least we can provide the schools, if they're close to meeting the Eat Right at School criteria, that they have options that they can choose from to get them there. And finally, increase interest in the 5-2-go model. We started to integrate it into clinical practice through our EPIC system, which is the medical records for the clinic, and then looking into the geographic footprint for the clinic. We've started discussions with Nevada. We have clinical sites there as well as Florida, and also through other partners that have reached out to us. So I just want to acknowledge the first ring, Mr. Marty Cool, who recently retired. He and my boss, I think, went through the growing pains of this project together. And Laura Jeffers in the Center for Human Nutrition for developing the Eat Right at School criteria. And to my public health team, who is in the audience, who 18 months ago gave me the opportunity to embark in this exciting journey. So thank you.